Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on July 13, 2008. Her sermon was titled, Zucchini and Chia Pets. What can we sow as a result of the blessing that has been sown in us? The lectionary reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9.
I've told some of you, I heard a children's sermon by a colleague in Arizona a while ago. He brought that tiny seed and placed it in his hand and told the children, one day this seed will be a tall, tall tree. And one little boy raised his hand and said, actually, only one in 10,000 comes to fruition. The gospel may be simple, but it's not easy. And it's also not as simple as we like to think it is. If we hear a parable as a moral lesson with only one point, or an illustration, or an allegory, or a simple answer to a complex question, or an answer to a question that no one is asking, or an ancient and distant portrait of Jesus, we are not really listening. We do not have ears to hear. If we think we understand it all, we are not listening. Jesus in this parable asks us to listen. Jesus' parables are real-life experiences cast in a new light, a light that exposes and illumines and instigates. Biblical scholar C.H. Dodd wrote in 1935, at its simplest, the parable is a metaphor or a simile drawn from the nature of common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought. If we have ears to hear parables, we will ponder, question, doubt, and wrestle. Our minds will be teased into active thought rather than lulled into sleepy complacency. Parables provoke and evoke rather than define, convict and convert rather than convince. They create tension rather than tranquilize. Neither certitude nor cynicism opens hearts, opens minds, opens doors. If we have it all figured out, we just don't get it. We are living in economic hard times in this land. Businesses closing, homes foreclosing at increasing and alarming rates. Jobs are downsized and outsourced. Families are struggling. And throughout the world, diseases of poverty and hunger and scarcity devastate peoples in this land and throughout the world. As pollution desecrates the gift of creation, surely this is a time for us to be cautious and to use each resource, every resource, carefully, or is it a time for bold extravagance? And by this, I am not talking about opening wild country lands for oil speculation and drilling, just in case you were wondering. But is it a time to guard and be cautious, to be strategic at every moment, or is it a time to trust in the sower and the seed? The people to whom Jesus spoke were living in economic devastating times. They were not middle-class people experiencing an economic downturn of their investments or even their jobs. They were impoverished and struggling and oppressed by empire at every turn. They lived precariously as millions of our brothers and sisters do every day. And Jesus said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. The parable of the sower is the only of Jesus' parables that appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It invites us to the challenge of living out of abundance in times, especially in times of scarcity. The sower tossed out seed without measure. Jesus was talking to people who knew about hard soil and hard times, who knew rocky ground, rugged roads filled with powerful predators, thorns and thistles that choked off life itself and needed crops, threat of loss, actual loss of precious essentials was daily life to these folks. So imagine how scandalous, how outrageous, how expansive, how extravagantly unsettling and radically assuring it was to hear about such a sower who recklessly threw seeds everywhere and anywhere, so many of which were lost for many reasons, and yet 30, 60, 100 times more than enough. There's room in this parable to ponder all kinds of soil, to think about receptivity and resistance, to think about cooperation and opposition, high potential and minimal resource. There's room in this parable to talk about seed and the risky journey from potential and fulfillment, and to talk about genetically engineered produce. For me this morning, I am held by the whole paradox and mystery of God's extravagance and call to us in the midst of such a world, such a soul, such a community as ours. Love without limit and without condition. Such a love calls forth a response. Do we dare ask if God's kingdom is at work everywhere, always, for all, rather than some places, sometimes, for some people? If we do, what does that mean about how we live our lives? Years ago, I got enthusiastic about gardening. It only lasted 1 year. I didn't get a lot of positive reinforcement. And I planted a row the length of our backyard of zucchini plants. That's right, a whole row of zucchini plants. That year I learned something about abundant harvest. I thought about writing a book, 1,000 Ways to Cook Zucchini, but then I found one called A Zillion Ways to Cook Zucchini. Now here is a question that I've been thinking of in preparation for this sermon, a what if. The last couple of work days here at Epworth, diligent workers have been clearing out the backyard behind the youth room for a play yard in years past. And I haven't measured, but I think I've calculated that it could be about 1,000 square feet. And I'm not sure how many zucchini plants that yard would take. But if we filled that yard with zucchini plants, I'm pretty confident that we could help produce enough zucchini for more than enough, really, for the whole city of Berkeley. We could be very productive. And probably, though, we might want to think about that question, that what if. Because that might not be the question that's before us. That might not be the productivity, the sowing that we're called to do as a community. What we're asked to do, the work we're about. We have a vision that's emerging of that place for prayer and for playing and for recreation for children and adults, a place for meditation and also for recreation. Pam Liu has begun holding a vision, and many others have been forming a collective vision of what that might be. What do we sow? What can we sow as a result of God's blessing that is sown in us? That is sown in us. This beautiful painting was one of the many by Hilda Robinson at annual conference this year. And the Sanders West bought this and gave it to Epworth. Can anyone see what's going on there? What is it? It's children at the rail. And I think it evokes the balcony too, but it's children at the communion rail. And that is a beautiful image of what we're about in sowing seeds in this time and place for children who are here now and the children for generations to come. How many of you know what a chia pet is? Wow, that's impressive. One member of this community shared with me that when she was a little girl, she begged her parents over and over again for a puppy. And finally, her parents' response was a chia puppy. Now, a chia was a gift toy fad that began in the 1980s. You would spread moistened chia seeds onto a grooved terracotta clay figure, and then you would keep refilling the figure with water. Now, there were turtles and frogs and, yes, puppies, and then newer versions like Garfield and Shrek and The Simpsons. Each pet came with enough seeds for 3 plantings because they didn't last very long. The little sprouts would appear all over and transform the figure and in just a really few days, and they'd grow for a while, and then they'd die, hopefully, before children lost interest in these activities. Now, over the years, I've seen a lot of chia ministries. Ministries that look good, that have a slick marketing campaign, but do not bear the fruit of God's love and justice for all people. And when they do not bear fruit, sometimes you just start a new chia ministry. What we sow in sowing the gospel is not a quick fix, feel good, low commitment, short term appearing. We sow the word of God. That word represents God's will for all creation, not just for our lives. The word presents us with questions to struggle with and challenge and live into. And are we willing to dig deep and to risk loss to engage a dynamic living God who promises nothing less than transformation of our lives and of the world? Evangelism, in its best and truest sense of the word, is sowing good news of divine love and forgiveness offered without price. Evangelism's question, our question, is who needs that news? Where do we need to be sowing that seed? Who needs community and a family of faith where all really does mean all? How is God's kingdom growing in our midst and in this world? The question doesn't just fall on us individually or locally. It comes to us as global citizens as well. In September 2000, the United States joined with 188 nations to commit ourselves to a set of international development goals in the United Nations Millennium Declaration. It is up to us as citizens of this place and of the world to make sure that we keep our promise to the global community and to the world's most vulnerable people. The 8 Millennium Development Goals for achievement by 2015. 1, the eradication of extreme poverty and hunger. Now, under each goal, there is a list of specific objectives. And Mark Lancaster, in an adult study last week, gave us a wonderful example of this. He said that in his work with the SEVA Foundation, and in 30 countries, and over many decades of living and serving around the world, he knows for certain that the estimated $1 trillion we have spent in the Iraq War could alleviate world hunger. We could spend our money in that way. The other goals include achieving universal primary education, promote gender equality and the empowerment of women, reduce child mortality. And I'll invite you to go to the website and look it up to see the rest and how you can join the One Campaign to support these. I close with this version of the parable from Stephen Mitchell's text, Parables and Portraits. A sower went forth to sow. Some of his seeds fell on stony places. Centuries passed, millennia, and the seeds remained. And the stones crumbled and became good soil. And the seeds brought forth fruit. "Wait a minute," said one listener. "You can't play fast and loose that way with the natural facts. The seeds would die long before the soil could receive them." "Why would they die?" "Because they can't hold out in stony places or for thousands of years." "But, my dear, what kind of seeds do you think we're talking about?"